All right, welcome to the last episode from the Sex and Horror Podcast with authors Dicey Grenner and
Chantel Renee
for the year 2023. I know you thought you were losing us forever, but no, this is just for the year.
You can't shut us up that easy.
Right. The cat is out the bag and we are not going anywhere. We're just going to go on a brief pause for the holidays and then we're going to be back with a bunch of great guests, great topics, a lot of forgetful moments, and silliness from your favorite middle-aged ladies.
Yeah, those bitches.
And you know, Chantel, speaking of middle age, you know, it's kind of a misnomer because middle age is just not, this. We are not middle age.
No.
Middle age for us was probably somewhere back in our 20s or our 30s, and I'm reminded of that every day, especially when another person that I know passes from this side to the next. And
Yeah, also I realized, you know, there's only 30 more years till I'm 80, and bitch, I do not want to be 80. No. Mm-hmm. Back that up a little. So I might have like 15, 20 years left. That's it.
Yeah, just a few more summers. Yeah, and then it's lights out. Today was my husband's former boss. Rest in peace to Carlos Spearman, who was also a staple at our law school, alma mater. So she had been battling some health issues, and she finally went to get her rest. So
good travels, my friends.
Yeah. So we're going to just do kind of like a look back for 2023 in this episode. You turned 50 this year, my love.
I sure did, you guys. I turned 50.
And I don't think we got near, we probably should have did an episode out there, but it was a nice location where you had your party and it was a whole vibe.
Yes. Raven Wolf Manor, guys. You got to look it up on Instagram or TikTok.
It was a wonderful party, and you set the bar for what I need to do next year for my 50th.
Well, I mean, he's available. I will say, guys, I stayed the night out there, and I don't remember if we talked about it. Yeah, we did talk. Did we talk about it in the last? Okay, so you guys will hear about it before. I'm talking about it now again, but yeah. Just in case, I think I'm pretty sure I said that the bed shook on its own. It woke me up in the middle of the night. So.
Oh, no. You told me. You haven't mentioned that on air. So talk about
it. Oh, yeah. So my husband and I stayed in the Edgar Allan Poe room. And out of the three rooms available in this place, it's the simplest, wouldn't you say? It's not as lavish as the Dracula room or the Dorian Gray room, which are both just beyond like breathtaking, amazing spaces. But I wanted the Poe room. I was just drawn to that room. Of course, yes, I'm an author, but there was something about it that I just wanted to sleep in there. And yeah, in the middle of the night, I woke up and the headboard was banging against the wall and my husband was snoring next to me. So it wasn't that.
Because you weren't sleeping alone. Let's just say that Chantel was there with her mans.
Yes, and he was passed the fuck out because he got a little lit throughout the evening. But so I'm not sure what was shaking the bed, but it definitely woke me up and I just rolled over and was like, dude, I'm sleeping. And you're just going to help me go back to sleep. Just keep that up.
Just to let our listeners and viewers know, the Poe room and the Dracula room and the Dorian Gray room, you know, this is in a manor that has been restored. So it is old. This place was
130 years ago.
130 years old. It's right across the street from a cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Just down the street. Not quite across, but it is on Cemetery Road.
The house is built on Cemetery Road, yes. Mm-hmm. And because when I was driving down, I was like, that is so fitting. Yeah.
Very much so. And I want to actually sometime this coming year, I want to spend a good day or two up there researching the house, and perhaps I'll bring it on the show and share what I find. But it used to be a funeral home. There's all kinds of clothing from like the 60s, 70s, 80s. They even have stuff up there in the attic that's from like the early 1900s. So
it is. Hey, I had a chance to get an attic tour before I left. He took us up to the attic.
Yeah. Nice.
So we were trying to get up there, but it was locked. And so before we left, we were able to go up there.
It's like walking into history, right?
Right. Yeah. I'm sure I have seen many horror films that started with walking up to the attic like that and it opening up like that. So that's the context for this house and why it was fitting that the room would have some knocking. A lot of the pieces that are in there came from the Wild Collection, if you remember that oddity shop before it had an arson attack that was here locally in Houston. So shout out to Loya and David, his husband, for hosting us at the I said that right?
Yep, Ravenwolf Manor.
Okay, yeah. And so they are going to have a bed and breakfast there. So you all stay tuned for the grand opening for that. But yeah.
Yeah. And it is, of course, also an event space. And he's going to allow like daytime teas and people want to use the house for meetings and things like that. He's going to, you know, really branch out into the community. But it's a slow transition. Even though it's been less than a year, he's done a shit ton of stuff to that place. But yeah, it's fantastic.
They have done so much work in remodeling it. Yeah, it's beautiful. So I'm going to just shoot out a few things, you know, as we rewind for 2023. What was the sexiest thing that happened to you this year?
Gosh.
Because we have not done a lot. You know, we used to do a whole lot more on the sex part of our sex and horror.
Yes,
we're all kind of horror-based, too. But we're going to mix it up a little bit more next year.
Honestly, I guess the sexiest thing that happened this year is just being at the Houston Horror Film Fest. There's so many people there. There's so many beautiful women, so many beautiful men. Mm-hmm. And the place is just... it is amped up with energy. People are so excited. The party was really great. I was like really wearing like a cute little outfit and I enjoyed the heck out of that whole event. It was so fun.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Okay.
To me, I mean, as a female, I don't know about you, but feeling sexy to me is what, you know, is what brings out that feeling of the sexiest moment. It's not just the act of sex itself, because as you know, as a married woman, sometimes you're like, are you done yet, for fuck's sake? Really?
It's either are you done yet or I can't believe you're done already. Right? Like, are you, we just got started, what you mean you're done?
Mm-hmm.
That or it's can you get done, can you hurry up?
Yeah. Like, okay, I'm done. I don't know if you're done, but no, I mean, it's not just a sex act for females to to have a sexy moment.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And what was the creepiest? Was that the story you were telling a minute ago? Was that the creepiest?
I wasn't creeped out by that though.
Okay, well, mean, that creeped you out. Well, yeah, let's hear what's the creepiest thing from 2023?
That creeped me out. I would say the moment I saw a child's head open and someone eating brains out of it. That was probably the creepiest thing I've seen.
Well, and it was on, real, though.
No, it was on a movie. Okay. I was like,
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what?
I don't know.
Answer these too, huh?
You do need to answer these.
Yeah, I should probably answer them. The sexiest thing that happened to me this year, I'll be honest, I didn't really think there was much sexiness happening. And maybe
that's why we ain't talking about it.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Maybe, you know, that's where the energy wasn't placed there. So I didn't feel it either. But I did enjoy Houston Horror Film Festival. Like you said, that was a sexy thing. I felt I looked good. I tried to elevate myself more this year, period. Like I even started getting my lashes done. And
cute.
So, yeah, can you see that? Yeah. And I like the way that looks, you know. I bought some designer bags and that I felt sexy doing that. I bought a few more things. Even some of the items that were on my vision board for how I wanted to look, I actually bought those and wore those. So, you know, I felt sexy with that. But I will say that it didn't happen to me, but I know the thing that I thought was the sexiest was this kiss. And it's so dumb, but I'm going to put it here because that way it's, you know, add some levels to our conversation. But the summer I turned pretty. Remember that show?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's a show that comes on Prime, and I think it's hella dumb. Like, I was so irritated the whole second season because they are talking nonstop about saving this house. And we're not talking about people who are homeless. We're talking about a vacation home. So I can't mm-hmm. even, like, you know, feel sorry for them or anything. But there's this element to it that reminded me of the sexiness from The Vampire Diaries when we had Damon Salvatore and Elena Gilbert and Stefan Salvatore, you know, that triangle, the love mm-hmm. triangle they had there that I thought was true. Oh, okay, I see your shoulder. So are you sticking your boob out?
They're way down there.
Yeah, so there was that was really the only reason that I stayed watching this, because there was a sexy element between these two brothers, Cole and Jeremiah, and this girl, what's her name? Belly. Belly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Belly.
Okay. Who?
Belly. You're right.
Yeah, so we got a Belly again, which kind of reminds me of Twilight. But the but the three of them, I thought was, you know, hey, this is kind of hot. So, but there was a kiss between Jeremiah and Belly towards the end that I thought was the most beautiful, sexiest thing I'd seen in a long time. And they're playing youngsters, but the actors are in their 20s. Otherwise, I wouldn't even bring it up. But the actors are in their 20s. They are playing young people. Well, actually, I think Cole is in college, right?
Yes.
They're supposed to be in college, from college and high school, something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that would be the sexiest thing that I saw, I guess. So
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot. That makes sense. To creepiest. Mention.
Yeah, creepiest. I had a visit from one of my friends that died.
Okay.
I'd say that was pretty creepy, right? I have been kind of arguing with my husband about something. And you know how they say don't go to sleep angry? Well, I went to sleep angry. But somewhere in the middle of the night, I was up and I saw, I wasn't up, but awake. And I saw my friend who died a few months ago. And he said, he basically was like, at least he's still there. At least he's alive. How would you feel if he was like me, if he's dead? You know, if he's not there, how would you feel about that? And it kind of put some perspective on it. You know what I mean? Hmm. Like, I don't want the man to die.
I'm sure.
Not
at that moment.
Like, things would be drastically different. You know, sure. Terribly miss him if he was gone, just like I miss my friend. But I guess that would probably fall under creepy, though. I wasn't creeped out by it, but I think if I'm telling the story to someone, it sounds creepy. So that would fall under creepiest.
I mean, for sure, the bed shaking on its own sounds pretty creepy, I'm sure. But at the time, I was like, eh.
Like, yeah, oh well, just another instance of something strange happening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is there any other moments? What's your most memorable moment of 2023?
That's what's funny. Look, that's what's number two on here. Most memorable. That was the next thing. That's where I was going with next.
How most interesting.
Yeah, that's number two. I got sexiest thing that happened. Number two, most memorable experience. So we're here. Most memorable, you go, since I was just talking.
Memorable, I mean, definitely my 50th birthday party was super memorable. I mean, that was a huge thing I wanted to do for at least the past decade. I've been thinking about doing it, and I made it as much close to my vision as I had been thinking. Probably a second to that it happened on the same, at the same time I got the new tattoo. And let me tell you, when they tattoo the bend of your arm, I mean, I was like,
you ain't gonna forget it.
Damn. Yeah. Like, oof.
Yeah. Memorable for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Most memorable for me would be my trip to Italy for 2 weeks. It was, you know, you never know what makes it to your long-term memory or what particular moments, but I remember being present, you know, and I was to myself. So I spent many times where I was just there, just being just in the moment, just looking, just admiring, just in awe, just planning. So I remember most of it. Like I remember from hour to hour, day to day, what I was doing, because I didn't have a whole lot of distractions. I wasn't, you know, being overwhelmed with things, just being on my trip, just planning that. So actually I'm going on another one. Next week, I'm out of here, baby. I'm gone. I'm out of here.
Fun. Yeah. Where are you going next week?
I need to be present again. I'm going to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. Yes.
Cool.
Out of here. But memorable. I did a lot of traveling this year, which was what I wanted for the year. So I started it out with Colombia. That was Cartagena, Colombia. Then I went to Kansas City. And okay, I went back and forth to Dallas a few times, but you know, that's just kind of like a second home now, I guess. Then I went back to Kansas City, and then I went to Italy. Then I went to Vegas, and now I'm going to Dominican Republic. Yeah.
Nice.
So my trip was memorable, and I need more memories like that.
Love it. That's awesome.
Yeah. Normally, I do concerts. Concerts mm-hmm. heighten my mood. It elevates my spirit, makes me feel good. I did some concerts this year, but I don't think I did any metal concerts. I was just on a different vibe. And I went to the Doja Cat concert, which was nice. I took my daughter with me, and I went to, well, it was an extension of her birthday, too. And then, so I guess that was the memorable concert. I did go to the Honey something concert that was outside. It was raining, but I had a chance to see Mary J. Blige. I've seen her before. So I kind of get into this thing where if it's not the first time I've done something, it's not, you know, as exciting. Like, I'm looking for first experiences, I guess.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
But I didn't do a whole lot of concerts. I feel like there might be one more concert, but none of them were metal. And instead of doing the concerts, I traveled. I traveled this year.
Which is great. Yeah.
I'm behind on a whole lot of Netflix shows that I would normally catch up with, because that also is something that I used to do. And now I haven't been doing that as much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what was the hardest thing for you this year? The hardest thing you did, the hardest thing that happened, the hardest challenge, you know, what was the hardest part of this year?
Gosh. I think what I'm dealing with, becoming perimenopausal, that's been a real big challenge, because let me tell y'all, I want to stick a knife in more than meat. People are pissing me off. Between my husband and my mother, they're like, okay. I'm like, look here, motherfuckers. Like, I go crazy. And I'm just like, honestly, I got my new kitten this year. And I cannot be getting new animals every year. But he did bring me a lot of peace and quiet. He was very kind and loving and sweet and grateful to be in my life, because he was an outdoor kitty. He helped me to take it in stride. And other than that, sickness. Oh, my God. I mean, this was my year of getting sick. And I don't know if it was from me poisoning myself with the bones. But then I had COVID almost at the very beginning of this year. And then after that, and that my first and only time I've had it, knock on wood, wherever some wood is. After that, it just seemed like I kept getting sick from all kinds of shit. So that has been
frustrating. You still sound kind of nasally now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, ever since I had COVID, I feel like everything either holds on too long mm-hmm. or it's just different now. Like your body changes a little. Mm-hmm. I think they call that like long COVID. Like, I think it's just like some weird effects you're going through from having it.
I see. Well, I could tell you about some of this stuff that a friend of mine told me about to take. Harmony Plus. I've started taking this stuff. It's not cheap though. You know, it's not inexpensive. I'm taking the Harmony and the Harmony Plus. So it's like 5 pills in all. So you can start to feel a difference after 4 weeks, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'm on my, I started taking it right after we had that Houston Horror Film Festival pop-up market. So when was that?
In August. Was in summer, yeah.
No, it couldn't have been in August because the Houston Horror Film Festival was in August. It was October, right? October
of last year?
October 28th. October 28th this year. So I started taking that. So I should be where I can feel the difference by now because I've been taking it long enough. I'm on the next shipment of it. So I just made sure that I wouldn't run out of it so I can keep going just to see if it's working. I really cannot tell. I don't know. I mean, because I still have all of the symptoms of menopause, you know, but I can't tell like if I'm having it less or about the same, you know what I mean? Because plus the hot flashes, it's colder now anyway. So I can't really tell, like, is it because it's colder or is it more under control? I don't know. But I will tell you about the stuff and you can try it out if you want.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll check it out. I know my cousin swears by the magnesium spray. She said that's helped her a lot. It's an interesting thing. You know, my other friend, she does, I can't remember the doctor. She was following him on YouTube forever. But she lost like all this weight from doing this guy's stuff. And she said it really kind of changed all that for her too. So there's so many different ways and routes to deal with this. And, you know, we talk about things like this on the show just because I feel like it's not really talked about and women are given a hard time so much for their behavior. Like, why are you forgetting shit all the time? You're getting old. No, that's part of it. You know, why are you, you know, acting so slow? What's wrong with you? It's like, well, that's all part of it. The lack of energy and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I stay tired a whole lot, but at the same time, I don't want anybody to like treat me worse because I'm not a spring chicken. You know what I mean? So I'm always trying to mask it or hide anything that I'm going on or that's going on differently with me so I can stay here. So I'm not dealing with the fallback like that. That's why they don't want older people doing things. You know what I mean?
I get that. And I mean, definitely I don't have the patience. If I was working, say in a regular 9-to-5 with other people right. and somebody did something, I would probably be like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
Well, the hardest thing for me,
and before you just reminded me, one of the hardest things that I had to go through this year, and it wasn't really what I was going through, was seeing my friend lose himself. He got in a motorcycle wreck and he is not the same person anymore. And he's fighting and struggling to kind of come out of his head because he has to do a lot of, he had a really bad brain injury. So his memory's kind of messed up and he's having, it's kind of like a stroke victim. A friend of mine went through that a few years ago. So it's hard to watch that. And he's younger, you know, he's in his 30s. And so that kind of really sucked. And, but that didn't affect me more than just, you know, hurting me as far as like, you know, someone who cares for the guy and who doesn't want to see anybody go through that. But that wasn't necessarily my hardness to, you know, to go through. It's his, but it's hard watching people struggle with things like that.
Right, of course. And that might have been the hardest thing for me, dealing with death. You know, 1 minute people are here, and the next minute they're reduced to a box. So that was probably pretty hard, but that's not anything new either. And especially the older we get, that's kind of more normal than anything. What it was for me though was a wake up. You know, each instance is a wake up call. So each instance is a, you know, that thing you've been talking about you're going to do, you better do it. And I did. There were a lot of things that I have been talking about for many years that I took upon myself to do. You know, traveling was one of those. South Padre Island, I went there too this summer. I forgot. That was another place that I went to this year. It wasn't on my list, but I went anyway.
Is that your cat meows?
Yes, your kitty.
I'm like, who's meowing?
It was not me.
It's probably my baby. It's probably Prince. He's probably like, I went in there with you, mommy.
But also for me, the hardest thing was it may fall under what you're talking about this menopausal stage. But hardest thing for me was just being a wife, honestly. Being a wife is hard.
You know, it is.
Wife is your hard.
I think men, if we have any men, male listeners, like, you know, Julio, you know, you see, you know, your wives, you know, the women in your lives are going through things, but you don't really see everything we're going through, guys. You see us running around doing all the things in the house, getting things done, taking care of work. But I mean, when you get to the older ages, it's harder to deal with the mental taxing of your day than when you're younger. Because when you're younger, a lot of you doesn't give as much fuck. And it's not that I give any much more fucks than I used to. I just think it's so much, like, and you don't realize how much that's sitting on you, and you're dragging it through your day. When somebody says something in the morning to you, like with your husband, for instance, if he says one thing and you can't let it go because it's just egging at you. And it's not that maybe it wasn't even something directed at you specifically, but it makes you think more so than when you were young. You know, all women introvert and they think, what did he mean by that? Well, it's even worse when you get older. Because you're like, oh, hell, what is he trying to say? Like, why does he keep calling me old? Like, what is that? Do I have gray hair showing? Is it because my boobs are here? Is it because my butt is here? You know, you just don't stop.
Yeah. All right. What was your favorite movie? The best movie of this year?
Let's do it from 10 to 1.
10. Oh, you want to do to rank them in order from 10 to 1?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what was your 10 for the year 2023?
Oh, I didn't go through and rank them, but I will. I did, you know, I do my 10 every year on the G3 podcast or, you know, so I went and I did my 10 on that. But at the time, I hadn't watched The Fall of the House of Usher yet. Some other things that came out. Thanksgiving wasn't out yet, you know, so these are some that I probably would have on my list. So I'll just say that for me, Renfield was on the list. The Nun 2 was on my list. Saw 10 is on my list. I'm going to throw Thanksgiving up there, even though it wasn't on there before, because I've seen it, and I really like what they did with Thanksgiving.
I didn't see it.
You haven't seen Thanksgiving? Okay.
But it was good, huh?
Thanksgiving. And I'll put The Fall of House of Usher, too, and that's going to take the place of, like, Haunted Mansion, the one with Lakeith Stanfield. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that, and I want to see more of that. It's more kiddie than my normal fanfare, but I did like it, and I want to see more of it. So I wanted to put it on the list anyway. But it would take one of those would take the place of that. And I like The Exorcist. I know you had, you know, your druthers about that one, but I really loved it. I enjoyed it. I like what they did with, they upped the ante just like they did in The Nun. And we're just talking about horror movies or films in general?
I just did horror, really, what I considered horror.
Go ahead with your list, because I want to throw in some that aren't horror.
Okay. Well, for me, The Pope's Exorcist was like my number 10 because it was enjoyable. It had some good scenes. Oh, and I'm really in. Yes, The Pope's Exorcist.
Okay.
I enjoyed it a lot. I found the chateau they used was really cool. And it was very gothy. I don't know. I enjoyed it. My 9 was The Last Voyage of the Dementor. I enjoyed the heck out of that. That was good. My 8 was The End of Halloween. I did enjoy it. Not everybody liked it, but I liked it.
Yeah, that wouldn't have made my list.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I also enjoyed the Boogeyman. That was my number 7 with the Stephen King's. I thought it was the problem with that, it was so neatly tied up that it wasn't as memorable as some of the other ones. But I did like it. I did have Renfield for number 6. I thought it was funny, witty, and it was unique. Mm-hmm. 5, Knock on the Cabin Door. I enjoyed it a lot. It was M. Night Shyamalan, Mon. And he was good. He did a good job in that. It was slightly different from the book, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. 7 was The Nun 2. I'm sorry, 4. That was 5. 4. And 3 was Talk to Me.
Oh, yes. Talk to Me is on my list for sure. Yes.
I thought that was very original. The actors did a great job. Mm-hmm. The scenes were very much burnt in my head and still are. And that is something that still, you know, has traveled with me. Number 2, I just watched recently called Terrified. And it's by the same gentleman who also wrote my number 1, which is, of course, Where Evil Lurks. Mm-hmm. Terrified was a really interesting concept of horror. I guess, would that be intergalactic horror? I don't know. It was kind of like between us and like a rip in between dimensions. And so it was like a weird haunting. And I think I liked it so much because that's something I'm doing in the book I just wrote last year. So I really enjoyed seeing it on the big screen. I was like, wow, that's great. And then, of course, you guys heard us talk about Where Evil Lurks, I think. Probably one of the creepiest things I've seen in a long time. I liked it better than Terrified only because I felt that the story was more cohesive and made more sense. And there was just so many things that happened in it that kind of like, what was the one where the daughter's head gets knocked off? And it's about the cult. The grandmother was in the cult and she promised one of the kids the cult. Oh my God. I can't remember the name of that movie.
Say that again.
The daughter's head gets knocked off when they're by the son. He's in the car. Hereditary. Yeah. So I felt that, you know, when we saw Hereditary, I think there were so many good things about it, so many shocking things, so many subtle things. And I felt that way about Where Evil Lurks, too.
Mm-hmm. And you've been telling me about, you told me about both of those and with When Evil Lurks, I've been wanting to see it, but the copies that I keep seeing are there. I can't find a subtitle copy yet. So I'll just keep looking, but I haven't as of yet.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I kept trying to look through like my, you know, usually I like to talk about the Netflix stuff I've watched this year. And I just really didn't. I'm finishing the one that they just put out with Julia Roberts. And so far it's pretty good. I'm really enjoying it.
Complain about Mahershala is in that and Ethan Hawke. I've seen people complain about the ending. So you haven't gotten to the ending yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. On Netflix, I have a bunch of stuff that I started and just didn't finish. And then I will come back to it as my mood dictates. I actually enjoyed I started watching and enjoying First Wives Club. It's one where I didn't want to watch it because I felt that I was going to be mad. And I was angry. I could see myself in there, you know, with the first wives thing. And so I was kind of pissed off, but it's interesting writing. I do enjoy what they do with it. They don't go too dark. It's fun. Like it is, it could be traumatizing for a first wife, but it also, they keep it light and fun in a way. And so I'm not done with it because I switched over to Sweet Home. And, you know, Sweet Home is finally that horror show that we watched years ago. And so they brought back all the monsters. And I really like what they're doing with that. They're starting with the premise that the real monsters are human. Humanity is the real monsters. And these monsters are pure. And I love where they're showing how... The people that are so afraid of these monsters, are so afraid of the unknown, that they are doing terrible and horrendous things. And like, if you could take a step back, and I'm looking, I was like, this monster is trying to protect its baby. It's not trying to attack you. Leave it alone and it'll leave you alone. But, you know, so it's interesting how they're doing that. I'm not done with it, but I am enjoying it so far. I love how... I think this is a South Korean show, Sweet Home. I love how the South Koreans do horror anyway, so it's interesting.
Very much so.
By the way, is not horror. It's more comedy, romantic, you know, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Will say, gosh, there's so many good shows to watch. I didn't get to see Five Nights at Freddy's. I didn't see Thanksgiving. The one that I really wanted to see was Cobweb, and I heard that was excellent, and I did not get to see that one either.
That's
disappointing, but I'll catch up with all these things. You know, there's just so many good things out there to watch. What I really did this year that I hadn't done in a while, I sat down and started reading some of the books and stories that my fellow authors are creating here in Texas, such as yourself and Jay Mazur and... oh my God, what's his name? Patrick Harrison III, Chris Miller, Candace Nola. Oh gosh, there's so many different people putting things out there for people to consume. We met a lot of these folks out in Dallas when we went this year, guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said, you know what? I'm going to start reading some of this. And James Long... I'm going to mess up his name. He created a press here in Texas with E.R. Bills, I believe is his name. Longmire maybe is his first last name. Anyway, they did the Texas Roadkill Volume 8 anthology. And guys, I mean, there are some amazing authors here. Dicey had put out a new couple of new stories which were fantastic. She just had
Deviance and Decadence. Yeah.
Deviance and Decadence. That was a great story. And I only got through how I need to read the other half. And guys, there's so many great authors here. And I have really just enjoyed consuming a lot of their work this year. If you like horror, You've got to get and dig into our back guests that we've had that are authors this year. We've had some really great writers here. Actually, I started reading Raven's book, and so far it's really good. What was her last name, Raven? We just had her on the show. I can't remember her last name.
Velasco.
Mm-hmm. She's great. Yeah, I love her work is really great. She's not a Texas writer, but still a local author. Guys, you know, we are writers. That's what brought us to do this show, because we really enjoy telling stories. We really enjoy consuming stories. Right. And as writers, we are readers. So I can't express to anyone who hears us or sees us you're tired of the recycled things you see out in the theater, go out to a local book event, go to a horror convention and pick up some books from some of the writers that are selling there. You're going to really enjoy what you read. I have written some really crazy shit this year that I would have never thought that I would publish, but are being published Merle's new book coming out next year has me in it, and that is probably one of the most disturbing things I've ever written, but fun. So guys, there's so many things around you. Just pay more attention to the details of things in your environments. There's so much great entertainment around.
Very well said. What's the worst thing? The worst movie or TV show? Or we don't disparage books and TV shows, but let me rephrase that, because which was the one that you did not enjoy? You enjoyed the least, and because let me just say, anything that we don't enjoy, we don't discourage people from indulging in still. Like, it's still, check it out for yourself. You might still enjoy it. It's just there's some things that we love more than others. That's all. So what did you enjoy the least?
The new Insidious movie.
Oh, you know what? Insidious was on my list. I love Insidious. See, but this is my point right here. I enjoyed the Insidious movie. Chantel did not enjoy it. So we don't tell people just because we don't like it. You shouldn't support it. You shouldn't see it. You should absolutely go watch it, go read it, whatever. You know, whether it vibes with us or not, it doesn't matter. We're just kind of letting you know what our spill is. So, yes. Okay, Insidious. All right. I get
Are
it.
Are you?
And what's so funny is I made these lists of things and then I didn't think about what I was going to say. So I don't know. What did I not enjoy?
And if you didn't, you just stopped watching it knowing you. So you probably, you just like, I ain't paying no attention anymore. I would say that I only went and saw it because you were going to see it and we were going to talk about it. But there was something else too that I was like, what was that crap? But I think that happens to me quite often. I tend to be like, I take a lot of chances. I really want to get out there and see what someone's creating, see what they came up with, what's new, what's exciting, what's the idea. Yeah. I guess
if I were gonna pin it on some, if I would just say something, the one that I enjoyed the least would have been the one that I said was like Agatha Christie. It was a whodunit, and you know, those are not my favorites.
The Venice.
Yeah, The Haunting in Venice. Yeah. I went to see that just because I was going to Venice like the next week or so. Otherwise, I wouldn't have watched it at all. So.
Yeah.
I was That's able to, and it was not a bad movie. It was still good. It wasn't something that I would have.
I finally saw it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did you like it?
It was okay.
Yeah. I mean, see, that's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. Like, not bad, but.
Yeah. Seems. I will say the best series, but the series that I enjoyed the most this year was the new Daryl series. That was good. The new Walking Dead installment with Daryl Dixon.
I haven't seen any of those either. No.
That one's really good. They did that. The new installment of Chucky was okay. It's not as good. Okay, so we've only seen half. It's not as good as the year before. But, I mean, maybe they're working to something. He's in the president, what do you call it, the White House, murdering a bunch of folks. It's all right. It's all right. It's kind of like been there, killed that. But I still love Chucky. I mean, you know, obviously. Yeah. I really enjoyed the last installment of Sex Education. I thought it was wrapped up nicely. Mm-hmm. We've been on that journey with that show, and I enjoyed it. Gosh, and there was one more that I was going to mention. I mean, we watch different things throughout the year, so if I can remember it, I'll bring it up again. But yeah, there's been a lot of, there's a show that my mother and I watched last year, because she's like, this is a fun show. And I watched it last year and I was like, yeah, it wasn't bad. So it came on this year and it's called Surreal Estate. And this year's season was actually really good. I'm not sure if they're going to have another season, because they kind of ended it with everybody breaking up, the gang broke up. Pardon me. And I would say this year's season was more exciting because there's more monsters. There was more weird stuff like in your face. It's basically a guy who can hear ghosts, hear and see ghosts, and he goes to sell houses, and then he finds all these things haunting these houses. So that was really cool. I enjoyed it.
Okay. There was one sexy show that I watched on Netflix that I just kind of took a chance on. You know, I watch a lot of foreign stuff. And it was called, I had to look it up, Burning Betrayal. And it was, you know how these go.
Yeah.
By now, they all kind of have the same formula, but you're going to have hot leads. And there were some really hot scenes with them. So that's, you know, that it was very, very visually appealing. So that was nice. Fair Play was another one that was a kind of sexy movie, but very relevant to today's situations with the competition between couples, you know, the man, the woman. They might have a relationship, but then there's also an underlying competition going on also. But that, the girl that was in that was the same one that was in Bridgerton. So those are two sexy movies that we didn't talk about on here that that I watched and enjoyed.
Well, that's cool.
And My Demon is one that I want to watch too. I think that's a that's another. Let me see if it's Korean. It's definitely Asian, but I don't want to get the wrong Asian.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's, I don't know if it's Korean or Japanese, but it's probably going to be one of those.
Okay.
That's My Demon. But I have not seen that one yet. Hmm. And yeah. And Sex Education, we did talk about on here. So
yes,
that's it.
Well, there you go. That was our 2023. I mean, there was a lot that happened, guys. But to me, I woke up after the Houston Film Fest was over and it's fucking December. Like, how did that happen?
Who was the first most famous person you met this year?
The most famous? Oh, gosh. I mean, we met a lot of folks throughout the year at different events because we were at Frightmare and then we did Houston Horror.
Did we got? We sure did do Frightmare this
the
year.
Oh, Lord. She's like, did we do Frightmare? Girl, yeah.
I completely forgot I was at Frightmare this year.
Yeah, we were there. And I don't really know that we rubbed elbows too much with the stars, but we saw quite a few. Gosh, I don't even know, honestly. Maybe Vincent? I don't know. Alex? Okay. Maybe? Because I wanted to meet Billy Zane, but he was like so non-approachable.
Mm.
And I just, I didn't have time for that.
I met Dennis Rodman twice. Wasn't at one of these events, but, you know, I just kind of run into people on a regular basis anyway. And a few politicians that I won't name here, but Dennis Rodman was in entertainment. I'll mention him. And I really like him. He's a cool guy.
Nice.
Do you have any regrets for this year? What's your biggest regret? Or if there was something you could undo, what would you undo?
Probably getting back on gluten. You see, it's hanging out. It's hanging out. No, I don't know. You know, there's, I think at this age, guys, I don't regret a lot of stuff. I'm just like, when I was younger, I think I caught myself regretting things because I was like, oh, what ifs? I don't live with the what ifs anymore. I live with that was a choice. That's what I live with now. So I think as you age, you grow out of that concept that things could have been different, but they could have been. Yeah, I could have been born into a rich family, motherfucker. That ain't happened. So,
what was your favorite episode that we did this year?
Gosh, you know, we had a lot of fun episodes this year. I felt like, oh my gosh. I can't remember. Who was it that we talked to that we were just laughing the whole time? I think it was another author. Gosh, it's just been so much that has happened. Girl, you put me on the spot on that one. Do you have a favorite episode?
I did. Do I have a favorite? child, I can't remember what I was doing yesterday. So I can't remember what we talked about. But I will say that, but since I can't remember, you know, what we talked about, I'm just going to go with the last one. And it's not out yet, but I'm going to say that it's my favorite just because it was on location. You know, yes. You talked about us going out into the community, into the field. And
I'm excited.
Yeah, at these particular locations. So we went to Wormwood and Vines, which is, it's not a new store. They just went from a smaller store front to a larger one. So they've expanded.
Yes.
Have my books in their store now. So I'm pretty excited about that. The
and this weekend is their big event.
Mm-hmm. They're having their
Shadow Alley
opening and market on December 17th. That's a Sunday from 4 to 10. So I got to do a lot more to the episode because it wasn't like this. Like, this is easier to put together and release. I have to do more because I filmed it on my phone and, you know, all the different editing parts that I need to do. But I'm pretty excited about once we release that. And I got to do that pretty quickly because I want to be able to help promote them for their grand opening too. So I'm making sure that I'll get it done I've been working on it, you know, between today, tomorrow, hopefully. But I'm excited for people to see it because we were there, we were on location, and
yeah,
we were able to film that. Girl, one of my lashes on film. That's the problem with these things. They just be doing what they want to do. They be like, shh.
Yeah,
like this.
Oh my goodness.
So. Since it was our most recently recorded episode prior to this one right here, but it's not out yet. But by the hope, before I put this one out, I'm going to put that one out. So
okay, that
will be the favorite one.
Yeah, that'll be good. Next year when we go on location to some of the things we were talking about doing, boy, I'm going to be like, all right, I'm going to have me some sort of coffee or something before we go, because I'm gonna be already buzzing just from the environment. I'll be like, oh my god, what are we doing? So hopefully we'll get some of that scheduled out and be able to work it out that we can both, you know, do the things we want to do next year with the show. It'll be fun. And we did some on location stuff this year. Wait, did we do the haunted house thing this year? Was that last year? I mean, the haunted jail. I can't remember.
That was last year?
See, I don't remember either.
Yeah, I don't think it was this year. I don't think I've been still long enough to do that this year.
Okay.
No,
so,
it was
definitely
last year, because I know you don't talk to one of the people that we were there with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So, I mean, I would definitely say, like, oh, gosh, there's so many ideas for us to go out. Like, that was an on-location one. We want to, I mean, there's so many ideas, guys, that we want to do. Hopefully we'll be able to do them and it'll turn out the way we want. Who knows? But yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's going to be fun. We got some stuff coming up.
Yeah, we already have a lot of guests scheduled for January because we started booking them in advance and not just flying by the seat of our pants like we've done a lot. We're going back to the roots on how we started, where we booked people, you know, and had more of a schedule.
Okay.
All right. So what do you want to, did we talk about what your biggest accomplishment was for the year?
Oh, yeah.
We did?
Okay. I believe so. Or the most memorable thing?
Yeah, we did talk about the most memorable. Is that biggest accomplishment too?
I mean, for me, the biggest accomplishment was just getting out two books, like one anthology and a full novel, which I hadn't done in so, so long.
Right. Good. Congrats. Yes,
thank you.
I don't know how I did it, but I balanced a lot. I was very productive this year. Very productive. I made to-do lists and I was checking off stuff on a regular basis, but I also planned in my breaks and my me times. So I feel like I had a really good balance this year, something that I've been striving towards. I mean, obviously whenever I was thriving in one thing, something was not as big of a priority, but I was able to flip it when I needed to. And so I still handled my legal stuff. I was in court a lot this year, all over the state of Texas. I still did all of those book events. This was the first time I was back on the floor selling books since 2017, I think. So that was pretty big. The traveling part, I still got my kids, you know, still being here, being doing what I need to do with them. But I focused a whole lot more on me this year. My kids are teens now, 13 and 16. And I was like, it's mommy time now. I'm going to focus on the things that I want to do. And so I think it was a very productive year. Like you mentioned before, I did get some short stories out. I did not. So those are in other anthologies. Oh, I did release my own anthology book.
You did? I was like, do you want to talk about it maybe?
Yeah, I did. Oh, girl. It's been a busy whirlwind of a year. But it's like, I don't even feel like the same person that I was last year or previous years.
For
like
sure.
I stepped into a different mindset, and with that came a whole different reality.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think I did a pretty good job of balancing.
You know what? Also, I wrote songs and I actually performed one in public. That was big, remember?
Yeah, I was there. I was recording for you. Yes.
That was pretty crazy.
Yeah, we did it. We did a lot this year.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And so I just expect more for next year, too. And what's different, though, is, yeah, I do a lot of stuff, but I balanced it. That is the balance part that I'm referring to. Because I still made sure I slept, I rest, I did the self-care. You know what I mean? I still got the massage. I still just went and chilled on the beach. You know what I mean? Like, I was not in work mode, work mule. I gotta do, gotta be a boss, babe, gotta be. Like, it was more balanced mindset in the sense that I'm not going to work myself to death. I'm going to get the things done that I need to get done. And I'm not going to stress over what I can't get done. I'm going to put that off on, you know, I prioritize better. I was not stressed out like I normally would be in getting things done. That's what I mean.
Absolutely.
Overwhelmed, I took a trip.
Girl, that's nice. Shoot, I'm like, now when I'm like, I need to go to Starbucks and write, they're like, okay, bye. Because they're just like, you are going bananas. Get the fuck out this house.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah, I just be thinking, you know, I feel a little anxious right now. What do I need to do? I need to either pull a book out and read or go sit somewhere and read it. I need to pull up something on my phone or TV that I want to watch. I'm going to go to a concert. I'm going to do, you know what I mean? Like, I go through a list of things that's going to make me happy and I'll pick it. And that's what I'm going to do. That's what I did.
Yeah. And this year I added spending a lot more time with my writer friends, such as yourself, writing, doing things that aren't just stuck in the house, you know, only. And that's helped a lot, I think, to push me out of my head. Because I wrote a lot this year, even though it was all mostly short stories.
Yeah.
Which is great. Now I need to buckle down and write the two books I want to get out for next year.
Same. You want to meet tomorrow?
Let's do it.
All right.
Before I forget, guys, I have been saving this. This is gold. Get ready to laugh. Here comes a good joke for you guys.
Okay.
All right. What is the female version of teabagging called? Flappuccino.
Flappuccino.
So y'all better behave or you're going to get a Flappuccino.
All right.
She's like, this is cheesy.
Whatever you do, the drum roll.
Yeah.
All right. It's been a pleasure to have this episode with you. Thank you all for listening. We hope you will go back and listen to the episodes that you missed. And we will see you in 2024.
Yes. Y'all come watch YouTube so you can see Kevin waving bye. Bye.
Dicey and Chantel out.
Peace out.